welcomes here. So I appreciate that. Before we come to God's word, though, I would ask that we come before Him in a brief moment of prayer. Our holy God and Father, we give you the most glorious praise and thanks for this opportunity today to gather together as a corporate body to worship you. To worship you in song, to worship you through the study of your word. And Father, we thank you for the youth that you have raised up in this area and the youth that you have raised up in this church. We pray that you would work in their hearts, that you would continue to bless their hearts with growth, spiritual maturity, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would work in each and every one of our hearts as well. At this moment, Lord, as we come to your word, we ask that by the power of that same Spirit, your Holy Spirit, you would condescend to our fragile hearts and our minds to help us better understand your scripture, to better understand your word. May the words that proceed from my mouth be ones that honor and glorify you. For we ask this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. The passage for today is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 16. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands upon you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in this, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Let us receive it as such. As always, when I come to a point of preaching, I feel ill-prepared. I don't know if that feeling will ever go away. In fact, I worry that if there ever is a time that I feel that I'm prepared for a sermon, that will be the moment of arrogance that precedes the fall. But nevertheless, this passage I feel I am ill prepared for. Procrastination, my own fault. Nevertheless, let us dive into this. I've titled today's sermon, Characteristics of a Godly Servant. Now, Oxford Dictionary defines the word characteristic as a feature or quality belonging typically to a person, place, or thing, and serving to identify it. Characteristics, therefore, are features that help us identify something, people, places, things, animals. With a detailed list of characteristics, you can identify different breeds of cattle, different breeds of horses, of dogs, of chickens, of various plants, of trees, of weeds, of fruits, of vegetables. So it is with our faith. We can use certain characteristics to identify true believers from false believers. More importantly, we can identify biblical doctrine from false doctrine. Now again, I've titled this Characteristics of a Godly Servant, but really it is, this passage is a way for us to help identify true Christian traits in our own lives and grow those traits. Now, I want us to see identifying marks of true faith in each and every one of our hearts. But not just marks of true faith, more importantly, marks of being a godly servant. After all, we should strive to hear those glorious words from our Lord on the day when we finally see Him face to face. Well done, my good and faithful servant. But first, let us ensure that we see this text in its context. For it is rich with instruction. The Apostle Paul had a special relationship with Timothy. No doubt Timothy was shadowing Paul on some of his missionary journeys. And Timothy must have been highly trusted by Paul because even though he is still in his youth, he is pastoring the church in Ephesus. Almost like a senior employee takes a new employee under his wing and shows him the ropes. Paul has shown Timothy the ropes of missionary work, of ministry. He refers to Timothy on multiple occasions as his son, his child of the faith. Like great young coach or great youth coaches pour their hearts and their souls into children and the teenagers to grow and to develop them, to teach them a sport, to teach them fundamentals, to teach them about life, about teamwork. Paul's relationship to Timothy is an example of what seasoned veterans of the faith should look like to youth today. We should be taking them under our wings. We should be showing them what is good doctrine? What is bad doctrine? We should be encouraging them to grow in their faith, to leave spiritual milk, to grow to spiritual maturity, seeking spiritual meat. It is a loving relationship that these two had, a father-son relationship. But specifically for context to this letter, Paul has left Timothy in Ephesus. He has left him in charge of pastoring this church in Ephesus. In Paul and Timothy's time, Ephesus, which is now in the center of modern-day Turkey, but in their time, it was a hotbed for pagan worship, the home of the Temple of Artemis. Tradition even holds that Timothy was stoned to death or beaten to death around the year 97 AD, because he was bold enough to go and preach the gospel to a group of men that were parading towards the Temple of Artemis for a pagan worship. They did not want to hear the gospel. a good reminder that the gospel, when preached accurately, is music to the ears of believers, but it is a rock of offense. It is a stumbling block to unbelievers. It is offensive. I digress. This is where Timothy is to pastor. He is a young pastor, but he is a third generation believer. If we keep in mind his relationship to Paul, his location, his youth, it helps us to better understand this text. And there are some other keys to understanding this text. Verse 6, verse 11, verse 15, all refer to these things. What are they? What are these things? Chapter 1, after his introduction in verse 3, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussions, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, in the beginning of chapter 4, we see what these things are. It's sound doctrine. These things refer to the teachings that Timothy received from Paul, from being a third generation believer, from his mother, his grandmother, teaching him the scriptures. Chapter 1 continues on with what Christ means to sinners. He came to save sinners. Chapter 2, Paul reminds Timothy, we are to pray for all people. He also says there is one God, one mediator, Christ Jesus. He details how men and women should conduct themselves in the household of God. Chapter 3, he gives us the qualifications for elders, the qualifications for deacons. And then Paul pauses for a moment in chapter 3 to give a personal address to Timothy. I hope to be with you soon. And after that brief address, Paul breaks into a verse of a first century hymn. That him, he was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. But then, chapter 4 begins with a warning. Some will depart from the faith. They will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. When you sear a steak, you are trying to put a layer on the outside of that steak, burn a layer to trap the juices inside. Paul is giving us that illustration, that the conscience of these liars is seared. The truth of God will not penetrate, not unless God first gives them a new heart. But like Romans chapter 1, God gave them over to their lusts. God gave them up. So Paul is warning Timothy, beware of these. Watch out for them. Now in verse 6, it's the first time we see that phrase, these things. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Put these things before the brothers. Put the good doctrine before the church. Give them good doctrine. Not good as in it sounds good and they're pleased with it. Good as in God is pleased with it because it is truth. It is accurate. Train yourself for godliness. This is what we toil and strive for. Paul is reminding him here, you'll have to work for it. Verse 11, we see these things again. Command and teach these things. These things that you have been taught by and through the scriptures, teach these things, command these things. It is to be the basis for all your ministry. It is to be the basis for all your instruction. It is to be the basis for all kingdom work. Let no one despise you for your youth. C.H. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, began preaching at the age of 16. By the age of 18, he was a pastor at Water Beach Chapel. At the age of 19, he was pastoring a church in London. The Prince of Preachers, the greatest pastor on this side of the apostles, perhaps. I'm sure many despised him for his youth, foolishly. But if you train yourself for godliness, it's harder for people to despise you for your youth. Paul instructs Timothy to avoid being despised for the youth, for your youth, by showing and growing five particular things like speech, your conduct, your love, your faith, your purity. And he gives them three things to do: reading scripture, exhorting others, and teaching. And then these things we see again in verse 15. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. In a little bit, we will witness immersion. Immerse yourself in these things. Immerse yourself in the good teachings. How often, Monday through Saturday, we immerse ourselves with TV, with sports, with television shows. Fill in the blank. That's what we're doing. We're filling in a blank, not immersing ourselves like we should, or at least not in these things. Okay, so there are several ways we can look at this, but I wanted to narrow it down to a couple of questions. How can I become a godly servant? Or how can I become a godly servant despite my youth? There are three ways or three aspects that we will look at today. Warn, work, watch. A good shepherd warns. A good shepherd warns the flock. He warns the owner. There is a cliff over there. There is a wolf over here. He does his best to warn. A good servant warns his fellow servants of impending danger. A storm is coming, or a robber is plotting, or a robber is trying to steal. God has a history of sending prophets to warn Israel. That was the main task at times for the Old Testament prophets, was to warn the people of Israel, to warn God's people. Jeremiah warned about false prophets, about false shepherds. False shepherds who attempted to please the itching ears of those who refused to repent of their sins. Those who refused to repent of idolatry. Those who refused to speak of God's wrath and of God's judgment. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Jeremiah chapter 2 or chapter 4 or chapter 5 or chapter 6, 14, 23, 28. All these chapters have various warnings from God through Jeremiah, just to name a few. Paul warns us, Peter warns us, John warns us, Jude warns us. Nobody warned more sternly, though, than Jesus. Beware of the wolves in sheep's clothing. You will know them by their fruits. Matthew chapter 23 has several woes or curses that Jesus pronounced on the scribes and Pharisees, warning them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Young man, young woman, you want to be a good servant? Do you want to be a godly servant? Then you must be willing to warn. If you see inevitable disaster, would you not warn? If you see a child playing under a branch, perhaps on a swing, and the branch is cracking, would you not warn? A wheelchair headed for a pothole on the sidewalk. A car headed for sheer disaster. Would you not warn? How much more important than to warn of eternal damnation? How much more important to warn of impending judgment? Even to warn that which can rob others of their joy and of their peace. Think of a story from a pastor who went to visit a lady who was not from his congregation, but a lady that he knew. She was battling stage 4 cancer, and she was near the end of her battle. As he got close to her hospital room, he noticed another pastor, or a so-called pastor, exiting. This first pastor found this young lady in tears, uncontrollable, inconsolable. Why? That first pastor, so-called pastor, a member of the Pentecostal church nearby, had told that young lady if she only had enough faith, she would be healed. So that young woman lie there dying, thinking the reason she's dying is because she didn't have enough faith? Warn against that which can rob joy from the true believers. That young woman was robbed of joy before she went home to be with the Lord. She had faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed. But she was robbed of her joy for the last few hours or days of her life because that wicked man, a wolf in sheep's clothing, perverted the scriptures, perverted the text of scripture. Warn against that. There are reasons I don't listen to, and we in our family don't listen to K-Love. There are some good songs out there, but they come from people that have horrible theology, wicked theology. Doctrines of demons. Bethel Music and Hillsong Worship, they have leaders in their church congregations that teach that you can lay on graves of people and that you can absorb gifts that they had. These are doctrines of demons. This is why I don't listen to K-Love. They don't filter that through for you. So warn others to filter through. Filter it through the scriptures. So we warn. We must work. Verse 6, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Verse 11, command and teach these things. Verse 15, practice these things. Immerse yourself in these things. Work your tail off to learn the scriptures. If you have an idea of theology and you come across a passage of scripture that contradicts it, be willing to admit that your first idea may have been wrong. Let the scriptures correct you. Do not try to correct the scriptures. They are not contradictory. If you find a contradiction, you have read it wrong. Be willing to accept that. Scripture doesn't contradict, so work in it, work through it. If you don't work your muscles, they atrophy. If you don't work out in the scriptures, your theology will atrophy. Work to learn the present errors of your time. Work to learn the scriptures that can correct them. Work to keep the conduct in step with, to keep your conduct in step with scripture. These five things that Paul mentioned, speech, keep it clean. Dirty jokes may make us laugh at times. We need to steer away from them. Cursing, swearing. We fall guilty of it. Yes, turn from it again and again. Turn to the Lord every time. Conduct, keep it clean. Give no reason for someone to call you careless or ruthless. They may call you that nonetheless, but don't give them the reason. Let them see the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Let them see that. 3, love. Agape, 1 Corinthians 13, it's perfectly defined there. Memorize that. Immerse yourself in it. Strive for it. Realize that that definition of love comes from God. Be a funnel for God's love, not a filter. Be a funnel for God's love, not a filter. Faith, the fourth, faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1. The whole chapter of Hebrews 11. Example after example after example of faith. Fifth, purity. The closer you get to being a godly servant, the more people will scrutinize you. The more you live in a glass box. The closer you become to being a godly servant, the more people will look for your flaws. So you warn, you work, then you watch. You watch yourself. Paul says elsewhere, test yourselves daily that you may know you're in the faith. Watch out for the risks of stumbling. Watch for a way of escape from sin when it presents itself. Watch for wolves. 1 John chapter 4, test the spirits to know if they are of God. Watch for opportunities to minister, to weep with those who weep, to rejoice with those who rejoice. Watch for opportunities to share the gospel. So in conclusion, do this. You warn, you work, and you watch. You will not be despised for your youth. You will not be despised for any reason other than the hatred for the gospel. You do this, you warn, you work, and you watch, and you will become a godly servant. You do this, and you will be blessed. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Our holy God and Father, we come before you asking that you would work in each and every one of our hearts to help us become that godly servant that Paul instructed Timothy to become. Help us to see the opportunities to warn others, to see the opportunities to work ourselves. Help us to have eyes that watch for opportunities such as these. Lord, I pray for the people of this congregation to grow in faith, to grow in knowledge and wisdom. But I pray for the young man, Mr. Jimenez, who is about to be baptized. Lord, continue your work in his heart. Continue to raise him up to be one of your servants. I pray for his strengthening, Lord. Help us in this congregation see the opportunities to minister, to take him under our wings, to help him grow in his knowledge and his understanding of your word, of the faith. Let us not fail him this, Lord. Continue to strengthen him by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You got this.